Expression Church. I'm so glad you guys join us today, and I am sitting here with some amazing fathers, and you don't know this, but every Monday, my dad and I, or at least the Mondays that we try, my dad and I try to meet and have coffee together and actually have big conversations. And this morning, what I wanted to do is I invited some dads to be here, and we're gonna have a conversation. We're gonna talk through some things that I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to use to change people's lives this morning. And so, gentlemen, it's an honor to be with you. We have Jeff over here on my right. And good morning, Jeff. So glad that you're here. We've got my dad, Carl, and we've got Keyshawn in
What's
the house.
Up, y'all?
And we've got Nick Saban,
hey,
who does kind of a little bit of everything. So we're so grateful. You know, and I was thinking about fathers, and as we kind of approach this kind of discussion today, gentlemen, one of the things that really struck me as I've been in this series on decisions was how Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And the more I read that, you know, obviously he's talking about his heavenly Father, but that relationship is a model. And I don't think it's been talked about enough that Jesus says, I only do. So in other words, behavior can be transferred between father and son. And Jesus says, I only do what I see the Father doing. And I think there's some of that even in us, positive and negative, on I only do what I see the Father do. And so as we kind of approach it this morning.
Son, I just have to say that it works the other way too. My wife and I have watched you and your wife raise your kids. And honestly, you're the best dad I know. And it's had an influence on me.
Well, thank you, Dad.
There you go. That's not bad.
That's a good start.
Yeah, that's a good start.
That's a really good start.
Let's talk about me for a second. Thanks, Dad. Here's the first question, and I think I wanna start with you, Jeff. Is the indication of who was the most influential person that helped you become the dad that you are today?
Yeah. Thanks, Pastor Ryan. Gregorio Ariz, who is my father, he was everyone's favorite uncle. Everyone's dad. People would feel so welcome in our house. He loved us unconditionally. He never limited me. You know, he never said, you know, shoot
you
for the stars.
Yeah, this is your lid.
Exactly. But then, you know, everything in action, the provision of going out from Jersey to Cali, just everything I remember, I never remember him getting angry or anything. So I had an amazing father. And,
wow.
You know, he truly
wow.
loved us yeah. unconditionally. And, yeah. and, you know, that's hopefully what I'm modeling out in my household.
Yeah. But, and I think, thank the Lord. For that, but not all of us have had that experience.
Yeah.
And I, you and I have talked a little bit about this, Keyshawn, and just maybe share a little bit about kind of your journey, even becoming the father that you are, and who influenced that in your life.
So my mom was an influence who helped me to be the dad that I am today because of her strength. She took care of two boys by herself without any question. And that took strength,
she's
that took
hero.
Courage. Oh yeah, she's a superhero. My mom is a superhero. And just the love that she gave us and the tough love that she gave us has shaped me to be the person I am today.
So Keyshawn, let me just ask you a question, kind of piggyback on that. So where did you get kind of that fathering influence in your life then? You obviously had your mom and she was instrumental, but did God bring people in your life that kind of gave you that moment to be fathered in your
He actually did. Well, my mom has been married twice, well, three times, but her second husband passed away. And now she's married to my stepfather, Nolan, who is an amazing man. And
wow.
They have all given me great insight on what it is like to be a man.
Yeah.
Because, you know, my mom is my mom and she is strong, but she's still not a man.
Yeah.
So they gave me influence, they spoke life into me, they helped me to grow and to be responsible as a man that I should be.
Kind of awesome. Like what you were talking about, Jeff, like that modeling, you know, I saw it and therefore I was able to lean into it.
And they gave me love that they didn't have to give me.
Well, I think that goes along with even being a step parent, which is, you know, that happens in our world.
Absolutely.
And learning to lean into love to a child that isn't yours necessarily, didn't come from you, but yet loving that child. And I have an amazing, you know, mother, stepmom, who from the moment I was a child at 7 years old, when you and Debbie got married, that loved me in that moment.
Unconditionally.
Unconditionally. Yeah. And right. I think that's huge. Being a father has shaped our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we can kind of talk about that for a second, but I just wanted to share just briefly about my dad. Growing up, all throughout high school, he would come into my room, knock on the door, but he, you know, I don't know why he knocked, because he still came in, you know. And he would come in, he'd sit on my bed, and he'd like, son, you know, when you're a teenager, man, all you want to do is sleep. And he would tell me, man, I was reading my Bible this morning, and God spoke to me. God spoke to me. All of these things. And I grew up with a father that modeled for me relationship with God is a part of our life. And so because of that, I lean into that, and I don't find it hard because I saw a father model that for me.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have that kind of model, and I can remember not even wanting to have kids to bring them into my situation because I didn't know how to be a dad. Mm. But something happened to me soon after I received Jesus as my Savior. I was holding on to Ryan. He was 3 years old. I can see this picture as clear as day. I was holding on to his hand. All of a sudden, I realized I could see green trees. I could see blue skies. And I felt the love of a father come to me as a son and then transfer that to my son. That awesome. Unconditional love that you were talking about, it didn't come from my dad. I love my dad. He did some good things. But that unconditional love came through God my Father and enabled me to love you and to love my family unconditionally. So, you know, that model, even though it was there, I couldn't see it till I knew my Heavenly Father.
That's good.
Yeah, awesome. That's really good. That's I think good. It's important to kind of, like, in that same vein, I feel like in my experience for my father, like, I tied my father as a child so close to my Heavenly Father that, like, now that I grow up, I look back and say, like, man, I needed to have more grace for my father. Like, I look at my past and see things where I'm like, I held my dad at this position of, like, perfection, and was like, I took it personal when something didn't feel like unconditional love. But really, that's just humanity. Like, that my father didn't have the capacity. Now, as a father, I see that you don't have capacity sometimes to
you
be
see
like,
how hard it is.
I don't have the patience for this. Like, I've exploded and made a fool of myself in front of my children.
Never.
So, yeah, so it's one of those things, too, is like, you know, as looking at your earthly father, separating that and being like, man, there's grace for my father. And I try to tell my kids, like, I'm sorry, Dan messes up all the time. Like, make sure there's a nice, solid line between me and Jesus. So, like, this is the real unconditional. Yeah. I'm doing the best that I can.
Yeah.
I think it's important to recognize, first of all, how important being fathered is, but also the realization, I don't know if you really get it until you become a father.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, when you become a father, then, like you were just saying, like, all of a sudden you're like, oh, gosh, I really need help. Or, you know, I need Jesus, you know?
I tell myself that every day.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to do better. I got to be a better father. God, help me. Please help me. Because, man, I struggle sometimes.
Yes. I was thinking of Nick, I think you even asked a question. Is just tell us a little bit about your story of being a father and what you learned, with your girls. And I think even you, Keyshawn, I love for you too to just kind of talk about the journey of you being a father, you even, you know, kind of blending that family. And Nick, give us a little bit of that this morning.
I guess it was sheer terror at the beginning. Like, you find out, like, okay, we're going to have a kid. Like, am I ready for this? I mean, it's like all the questions of, like, is my job good enough? Do I have enough money? Like, how are we going to raise this? Are you going to quit your job and stay home with the kid? You know what I mean? Like, life just, like, smashes into you like a brick wall. But then, like, when you look back, it's just, like, God just took care of all of it. Like, I don't know how we got through it, but, like, God was just there and just provided. And, like, here we are today. And now that I'm a little bit seasoned, I mean, my daughters are 4 and 6, so I'm not, you know, that far down the road. But I wake up in the morning and just think, like, okay, God, like, I can't believe you trusted me with this. Like, what a gift that you gave me to say, like, I have put these people in your life and I want you, I have plans for them, and you are like a cornerstone of those plans. Like, you are going to bring them to what I have for them. And that's like, whew, like, that's some pressure, but like, what a privilege. What a privilege that is.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, my family is super blended. So I have a stepson who is almost 20 years old now, and he's half Mexican, half white. And then I have my daughter who is turning 14, and she is half Mexican, half black. And then we have our adopted kids who are my nephews, but are legally now my kids. My brother, wow. They were my brother's kids. And so it's been an interesting journey, and God has been there the whole time.
Even wrote a book.
Man, even through like the adoption period, like Everything went so smoothly. The thing that I'm learning though from all the different aspects of our family is that everybody is different. You can't raise one the same way you raise the other.
Oh, yeah.
Because I mean, it's crazy, because just the way they are, and as they grow, they develop their own personalities. And there's things when you adopt kids that you don't realize. There's things that pop up all the time from them being in foster care or just living with different people that they think about like years later that pop up. So there's different things that you have to take in account when it comes to adopting a child. So it's been a journey, but it's been an amazing journey. I have to say that since we've adopted them, that God has grown our family so much in our faith and our love and
that's awesome,
everything.
Man.
It's so just been so good. Amazing having
that's
them.
Wonderful.
I love it.
And our family is just incredible. Yeah. I'm just saying, incredible.
Well, I mean, my kids are the best. So
I kind of like mine too.
Oh, I love you, Dad. Jeff, I think as we kind of spend some time this morning, and one of the things I really wanted to kind of wrestle with is just maybe where we're at as a nation and why fathers are important. And by the way, when we say that, it doesn't even mean, well, I didn't have a dad, so therefore I'm less than. It never means that. It's just the realization that fathers are important, and what do fathers do in playing a role with our kids or with the future generations. You know, maybe talk a little bit about why you think, Jeff, that it's so important for fathers to be involved in the process of raising kids and what that does for us in our society.
Yeah. It took me a while to think about that, and I don't know if I have really thought through that answer, but I think for me, it comes down to fathers have to model the relationship that we have with our father, and not everyone gets that concept yet.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't get it. Oops, my bad. I didn't get it growing up, right? I never tied like our Heavenly Father to my life.
That's right.
But when I did realize, coming of faith, how to do that, I was just like, damn, this is powerful.
Yeah.
So I think even you got to look at yourself as a father. You got to look at your whole person, man. Your father means that you are modeling Jesus's image, which means you are the husband, you are the son, you are a friend and a neighbor. And I think the more that if we realize
so
that responsibility,
good.
Right, to not only my kids and my household, but the kids that may not have parents, it's even more of a responsibility to realize that importance, because you're modeling it out for when you pick up your kids, when you hug your kid and everyone else sees that.
Yeah.
I mean, you are showing that glimpse of what that loving father is. So that's, really what's in my heart to share. And I'm like, that's what it is, man. You gotta show love. Because
and what a journey that
love.
Is.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You gotta show up. Like,
you gotta show
always.
Up.
I think of the need to somebody to tell you you're okay. I went through a lot of years looking for someone, looking at them in the eye to say, will you just tell me I'm okay? And that's what a dad is supposed to do. He's supposed to look at their kids. He's supposed to tell them they're going to be okay, that they have destiny, that they're valuable and they're important. And without that, kids don't have an identity. They don't know who they are.
That's
so
right.
Whatever the devil tells them, that's what they become.
Well,
and
I
so
have to say.
Go on ahead.
No, go ahead. You finish.
We have that great responsibility to everyone around us to remind you, you're a child of God. You have a destiny. You're important.
Well, for me, when my dad wasn't around, because he was here off and on, but when he wasn't around, I had to lean on the Father more. Yeah. And I had to build a relationship with God, knowing that He is my Father, the best Father that I could ever have.
Yeah.
And so that is Him not being there strengthened me in that way. Yeah. So even now,
you had to bypass an earthly father and you just went straight to the heavenly father.
Yeah,
bro, I need you. I need you now more than ever.
You're real. Show me. So, yeah, that shapes who I am now and how I lean on the Father now.
Yeah.
And I'm teaching my kids that you have to lean on God.
That's right.
And He's the best friend that you could ever have. He's the best father you can ever have. And I'm trying to be the best father that I can be, but I can't do that without God.
Yeah.
No, that's right.
Yeah. You know, Jeff, you said something about, and I don't think anybody knows, but your son was shot. Yeah. And you'll have to lean into that a little bit a second, because I just dropped a bomb and everyone at home is like, what? What? Wait? Yeah. How?
Yeah. You know,
especially right now, wait, what? But I think, talk a little bit about how you being the father and what even the verse out of the Bible that anchored you as a family and just how to lean into a moment of chaos as we as fathers kind of are learning how to do that. And by the way, I just want to say this across the board, like no father is perfect. No. And as a matter of fact, you know, like David, God put David with Saul, who was a terrible king. That experience taught David something, right?
Yeah.
So either way, we all have to come to our Heavenly Father and get the proper fathering.
Right.
But talk a little bit about like how to lean into as a family and as a father, kind of taking your family through turmoil and tragedy.
So let me start off by saying that when we knew we were gonna have Gavin, who's my son, scary, bro. I wanted to run. I had my mom say, well, you have to marry, right? So like it doesn't come perfect. Because that there's a different fear that exists before you have the kid, but then there's just a fear that exists on, you know, the safety of your children.
Yeah.
So, you know, long story short, 3 years ago when we first moved here to Texas, my son was doing what he loved, playing basketball outside, and he got hit by a bullet from about a mile away. Right. So, for me, there was blood dripping everywhere. You just heard pat, 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 and then we ran in the house. I didn't know if there was a shooter that was like looking to kill us because of the color of our skin.
Yeah.
You don't think about that as a father. You think about, what kind of food are we going to put on the table tonight, right? Like, you don't think about that. And then, let alone the next football game that we didn't watch.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, me and my wife were getting in an argument or something. But anyways.
Never.
Never. But anyway, he gets shot. It looks like a murder scene. There's blood everywhere, you know? And what I remember is us going back into the master bedroom bathroom and praying, Gavin saying, Jesus, I don't want to die. Us praying as a family. And while there was adrenaline going through and my wife was on the phone, I was on the phone, we're just trying to get anyone and everyone there. I felt worry, I'm not gonna lie, right? I've never had anyone get shot before, but to hear the words Jesus in that moment was good. You can still have that fear, but to know that you're crying out and that I see my kid crying out and I see my other daughters crying out, that is amazing. And then after that, the verse that I'll bring it back to that verse is Psalm 62:6. Truly, He is my rock, my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will not be shaken. So for me, that verse, you know, has everything in it.
Yeah,
that salvation.
Absolutely.
You know, like if you fear, like, dude, He is your fortress. He is your rock, and that's what you need to model out with your kids. And the most powerful thing to me is like, I will not be shaken, because that gives you that warrior heart, right?
Yeah.
Like you're there for battle, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered the question, Pastor.
No, it was good. We're processing all of this live, you know, so it's a work in progress as we kind of go down this road, and it looks like we're being handed a microphone for you, Dad. Your microphone's on the fritz. We're actually trying to keep you. I wonder if you even have it on. Nope, you do. Okay. You know, I think what's crazy about the whole journey and learning to just be a believer in every moment, whether you're a father, a brother, a friend, how do we bring Jesus into that moment? And I think that's good for all of us, that in the midst of the storm and whatever's going on, and I love what you said, that you had a verse that anchored you. That's what the Bible does.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think so many times we as fathers think that we have to know everything, be the expert at everything. And I'll just tell you guys right now, like, I am not. And I'm so grateful for the Word, because it can take you from not having a father, not knowing anything, not having it modeled right, but the Word can create an anchor and a direction.
Yeah.
So that in every moment, like, I've never had a kid shot. So you're in a moment that you've never been in, that you would never want everybody into. And yet in that moment, because of God's Word, the Holy Spirit, we're declaring yeah. Jesus in this moment. And that's what everyone needs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the world needs.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's that foundation that you can never fall below.
Yeah.
Like, you know, life is this house of cards that we carefully construct, but every once in a while something knocks that whole thing down. But it's like that, like, all right, I fell, but I fell down to my foundation, and I can rebuild from
wow.
here. You know, it doesn't yeah. ever go lower than that solid foundation that you've built.
That's good.
And you know, the two good. Things that are so important is modeling and mentoring, but learning to model that on a daily basis to bring Jesus into your family, to pray as a family, to your kids are so willing to catch it rather than to be told. And if they see right. you worshiping, if they see submission in your heart, if they see humility in
yeah.
That you're responding to the Word of God and watching you serve others, when those crisis times come, those things are going to be able to rise up. They're going to rise up to the surface because you've been practicing that
yeah.
with your kids along the way.
And I said yeah. that speaks volumes to you, Jeff, and the way you lead your family is that, like, the first place your children go is to call out to Jesus. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah. yeah.
Like that's what I pray for my kids is, like, hopefully they connect that, like, in time of trouble, like, that's the first place their mind goes is, like, when Jesus needs to be here.
Yeah. yeah.
That's awesome, man. Like, that, yeah. from as horrible as that situation was, like, what a win.
I yeah. mean, like, one in a million chance.
Yeah.
Went to the hospital. They were like, he's the only kid that got shot. He's the only person that got shot that made it out alive. So I went back to school 2 days after, no permanent damage.
Wow.
Like, so that's truly just not of this world.
Yeah,
no, that's God. God.
Yeah,
that's God. God.
Come on, speaking of God, like, let's eat cinnamon rolls and grapes and
we can't
pancakes.
Eat it though. We can't
I know.
Eat it though.
We can't
eat it though.
My wife told us it's just for looks, guys. It's just for looks. You know, I think as a father, many times just balancing work, you know, marriage, life, fun, And trying to navigate that all as a father for your children, that's a work in progress, guys.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think one of the things that I'm grateful for is for some of these fathers that have been in my life. My ex-stepdad, his name is Bill, and he modeled for me play.
Yeah.
I think so many times we get into our world and we're like so building and we're so intense and that we forget to like just play.
We forget what it was like to be a kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember this one time him and my mom were having a water fight and it came into the house and they literally brought in hoses and buckets and it was chaos. And as a kid, like... I so remember that as it's okay that there's chaos because I'm kind of actually, and my kids are probably watching right now, I'm a little on the anal side and I want everything in its perfect position and, you know, don't spill. And if you do, like, you know, it's the end of the world. And I have to remind myself, how have you guys done in that? And what's been your journey of just learning to play with your kids or to how do you get home and disengage from your world and navigate that?
Well, like I was saying, there's times that I have to just sit back and I'm like, why are they doing this? And I have to remember
what I was like
when I was a kid and what I liked to do when I was a kid. So that helps me to actually sit down and play with them and think, this is fun for me. This is fun for them. Yeah. It was fun for me. It was fun whenever my dad was around and we would box or we would do different things, and that was fun. So why would it be any different for my kids?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just recently, so my son's 14, and he's transitioned from that stage of wanting to be with mom and dad, and mom and dad are everything. You know, when they're young, it's like, you know, dad, you're my hero, and I just want to hang out with you, and I just want to be with you, and what do you want to do, dad? To now, it's like his friends and video games, and he just bought a skateboard, and they're always off doing their thing. And I was like, I was talking to Dana, and I got to find something that we have common ground, and we've dirt bike, but it's hot, and, you know, you don't want to wear all that. So I picked up, I don't play video games, but I told him, I said, listen, let's play a video game together, you know?
Yeah.
And it's been so fun to sit in his room, and, you know, of course, I'm terrible, and, you know, I'm like, I just follow him. We're playing Halo right now, and we're going through the series of it, and we're in the first one, so we're attacking the aliens, and literally he's like, Dad, I cleared it all. You know, you just come behind me, and I'm like, yeah, I'll drive the truck.
It's such a role reversal, right? Like, you carried him through all the activities as a kid. Now he's carrying you through his activity, right?
Yes.
I think for me, playing with the kids, like, I play my son in basketball, play with the kids, the two girls, but I realized, and I was like, man, Pastor Ryan, were you in my listening to the argument my wife and I had about me balancing time, right? And like, when you're a father, like, yeah, you play with the kids, but for me, what I've struggled to make time for is my wife in that. Because, like, for me, it's work, then I gotta play with the kids.
Yeah.
And then my wife's tired at the end of the night, and I'm just like, what's wrong, you know? And she's just like, well, you kept the kids up, right? Until like 9:30 or 10 o'clock, and I wanna chill with you. So then, you know, I think that's another aspect of being a father. It brings balancing work, play, but also, you know,
loving your wife.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely a balancing act.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I'm trying to get points too. Trying, you know.
Well done.
I learned it, babe. I mentioned it in church.
You know, that's your second most important relationship.
Absolutely.
And the kids need to see you.
Absolutely.
Just like they need to see your relationship with God. They need to see that relationship with your wife. They need that. They're desperate for you putting her first.
Absolutely.
Besides them.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, this is really good. I appreciate your openness and candor and the journey that we're all on as dads. And by the way, I think when you become a father, it gives you grace to realize. And by the way, the negative, the positive, we all have a grid. And ultimately, and it reminds me of a couple of verses I just want to share. Matthew 6, 7-8, Jesus is describing prayer. And he says, when you pray, don't babble on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them. For your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. And so I think we have to understand something. That whether you had a good dad or didn't have a good father or had no father, it creates in us how we communicate. So if you felt like no one was listening to you, you feel like you have to say things or put words together to get someone's attention. Yeah. And so as fathers, we have to learn to pay attention to our children when they're talking to us. But if you didn't have someone pay attention to you as a father, what's interesting is it will actually impact the way you pray, because you're thinking that you have to twist your words or say it in a certain way to get God the Father to pay attention to you.
Yeah.
And I remember my son, you know, I was a kids pastor, so 1,400 children I was in charge of. And in any given room, there was like 300 to 400 children in that room. And he would say, Dad, Dad, Dad. And I wouldn't pay attention until he went, Pastor Ryan. Oh. And all of a sudden, like, that phrase caught my attention.
Wow.
And I think depending on how our fathers were either attentive or not attentive gives us this impression of what we have to do to God. And I love how Jesus says this. Don't babble. You don't have to worry. You don't have to put up. You don't have to do all of your best words to get your Father in heaven to pay attention to you.
Yeah.
So whatever your experience was here on earth, you've got to recognize that your Father actually loves you more, which goes to my next verse, Matthew chapter 7, verses 9-11. He says this, you parents, If your children ask you for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So, and I love what he does here. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you good gifts to those who ask him? So all of us have an experience. Mm-hmm. That experience, either positive or negative, and it's important to recognize that experience. But we can't allow that experience to reflect on the way we view the Father, or we just have to be cognizant of that and realize that he loves us. Yes. He loves you. And just as if you asked someone in your life that loves you, they would give you the best. You got to realize your Heavenly Father is going to give you exactly what you need, and that learning to trust him, which then I end with this verse. Romans chapter 8 says this: so you have not received a spirit that makes you a fearful slave. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, which is the most tender description of a father. Like, my son has names for me. He calls me like Bro Chacho or Rad Dad Maloof. That's just what my son does. But they're all terms of endearment that only he says to me. And I think this realization of that idea of Abba, Father, is that we have a father that loves us.
Yeah.
And that he calls us by name. He stops everything that he's doing, whether we were perfect dads and stopped what we were doing for our kids. He stops for you.
Yeah.
And what that does when you've failed, when you've done it wrong, knowing that the Father stops all that he's doing. And I think sometimes we even reflect our father, our earthly father's busyness or lack thereof as our heavenly father. And I talk to people all the time. They come to me as a pastor and they're like, hey, would you pray for me? Because, you know the right things to say. You know, God, he and I are still working this out.
You know the spell.
Yeah, like I've got the secret formula. And I only if they knew actually how much the Father loves them. Just as much as he loves me. And he doesn't love me more because I'm a pastor.
Yeah.
That doesn't make him go, oh, now you're special, Keyshawn. You sing for me. No.
But have you heard him sing, though?
No, it's true. That's true. I can't sing like him.
But the Father wants to hear from you.
Yes.
Not from you, but from the person who's asking you to pray for him.
Yes.
He wants that relationship with them, and that's what they have to understand. It's not a dictatorship, but he wants a relationship with you. And, so... if you're out there and you feel like you can't speak to the Father, I'm telling you right now, he wants to hear from you. He wants a relationship with you. So speak to him.
Verse 17 in Romans says this: and since we are his children, we are his heirs. Mm. That means what the Father has, he wants to give to us.
That's right.
You know, I have some friends that have money and what they're giving their children. You know, my son's like, Dad, they get everything, and as a father, you want to provide that for your children, but not all of us have that experience.
Yeah.
But recognizing that our Heavenly Father wants to give us, we're heirs. Mm-hmm. We have everything that the Father has access for us.
Yes.
And we're not lacking. That's why in Ephesians, Paul says, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. So approaching our life now from a place of abundance, not lack.
Yeah.
Think about what that does for you as an individual. If you've always had this thought of lack, I never have enough, or they get more than I do, but now recognizing that the Father brings you into everything that you need, and that now is a place of blessing and a platform of saying you are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. And if we are to share his glory, then there is this aspect, we will suffer also. And in that suffering, in trials and in tribulation, we have to always come back to who are we? We are his.
Yes.
Yeah.
He is our Father. And so I want to pray for you today, and I want to thank you, gentlemen, for for being with us.
Thank you for having
joining,
us.
And joining yeah. my dad and I in our coffee time. But I want to let everyone know, just first of all, that you are loved by a Father in heaven. And regardless of your situation or what you've experienced, the Father actually wants to transcend all of that and speak to you in a way that you may have never been spoken to. He stops all of his work to pay attention to you. His ear wants to hear the words that you say. And the Bible says because of Jesus, we can now come boldly to the Father.
Yes.
So we access the Father through Jesus. And that access is not magical language, you know, the climbing some secret mountain. You know, like I hear people all the time say, why Jesus? You know, I'm going to go my path and I'm going to find God. But I would never do that to my own children. I would be specific to my children so that they would know how to open up the house. So think about my children running from someone and they're afraid and they want to get into the house. And I just say, I just dump keys out on the front porch. And I'm like, hey, there is the right key in there, but you got to find it in the midst of that turmoil and trouble. And they're searching for the keys and trying to unlock the door. Can you imagine what kind of fear that creates?
Yeah.
And the Father goes, listen, I'm going to give you the key to access everything when it comes to me. And you don't have to second guess it. You don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to try to figure it out. It's my son.
Yeah.
You call on him. He is the answer of our heart. And so Jesus,
yes.
We thank you for showing us the Father.
Thank you.
Because of your blood, because you died for us, we now can stand covered. That the things that I've done wrong doesn't mean that I have to carry those the rest of my life. That Jesus, you set me free so I can stand in front of my Father, my Heavenly Father, blameless, right. And so if you're here today and you've tuned in and just pray this prayer with me. Jesus, I thank you for your forgiveness, that the wrong things I have done, I don't have to carry anymore. I thank you for your forgiveness. I pray that that experience would change me as a person, that I don't have to be afraid anymore, and that the Father loves me. And so, Jesus, we welcome you now. We thank you for your grace. And I pray wherever you are today listening, that this experience with the Heavenly Father will change the way you walk in this earth. Because the earth, Texas, America, nations, the world, needs people who have been changed by this relationship. And I'm so excited for you today as you go from here, this table of conversation, but ultimately the reality that you have a Heavenly Father that loves you and wants to draw you into relationship and teach you what it means to be the best version of yourself. And so as we go into this last song, just take a moment and reflect on who your Heavenly Father is and hear the words that he says to you. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I love you. You're going to make it. That I have a plan and a purpose for you, and that you don't have to be afraid. COVID doesn't get the final word in your life.
That's right.
Your Heavenly Father does.
Yes.
Cancer doesn't get the final word in That's your right. life. Your Heavenly Father does.
Yes.
What someone has said about you, or even divorce, or sickness and disease, or losing a job, that doesn't define who you are. Your Heavenly Father is the one who will speak to you and tell you who you are. Let's worship together now.